Right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. How's everybody today? Good? Good. All right. Well, before I start, I'll start us off in prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you for another day. Beautiful day. Happy Father's Day to fathers. Giving honor to them. And we're giving honor to you, our Father in heaven. And just thankful to be here for another day of study and just learning about the blessings that we have and our duties. Today we're going to get into your word and let the Holy Spirit teach and give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so today, well, happy Father's Day to everybody. And today, last Sunday, Ray taught on studying the Bible using tools like the Blue Letter Bible. Today I'm going to kind of piggyback off that, and we're going to go a little more into studying. And today is going to be called a breakdown in studying the Bible. So we're going to kind of break down all the components on what studying the Bible is, and so that we can enjoy these truths ourselves as individuals, and so we can search the scriptures and know exactly what they say for ourselves. And because sometimes studying the Bible can be difficult, like the Satan's always trying to attack, and sometimes you'll get lazy, you're about to do it and something comes up, you start thinking of something else. But it can be, and we always think where to start, you know, how do I start doing these things. So we're going to kind of break down all that. And we got a good amount to cover. We might fly through it, we might not. But we're going to go to Acts chapter 17 real quick. So we're going to go through two verses and then our third. All these verses we know, but right now it just pertains to what is going to be our starter. It pertains to what we're going to be getting into, and basically how to study the Bible. And with that being said, we want to pray for the BBF and everybody down there that they're having that fellowship, and keep them in prayer. And what I'm going through today is what I learned in the BBI, the Brain Bible Institute. This is it's one of their first studies, and it breaks down this book. It's called Unlocking the Scriptures, and Unlocking the Scriptures, the Key to Rightly Dividing the Word of Truth. And this book was written by Dr. Bedore. And we can keep Dr. Bedore in prayer here. He's not doing too good. So I don't know if he's in hospice, but I got these truths. I'm not sure. So I just know that he's probably not doing too good. I'm honestly not sure. Okay. So, but I just know this book that what I'm going through today is from what he has written in that book, and it's going to be my template for today. So, he's the guy that this book that I'm going to be going through. Acts chapter 17, verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming thither, went unto the synagogue of the Jews. Verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So we know that verse, but they searched with readiness of mind. They were ready. They were ready to search the scriptures, find out whatever individual said something, to be okay, well, let me find out. And these men of Berea were, they searched daily, and they were called noble of Thessalonica. So a noble thing is to search the scriptures daily. So that's one thing we're going to see. And we've been to this. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. And I just want to show you in God's word where God says to search the scriptures and to be diligent, and that these things are not just for a hierarchy to just tell us what we need to hear. These are things we need to do, these things on our own accord, And so Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And I actually went through this verse 13. We read this before, but this, like I said, this is pertaining to where we're going to start. I just want to get these verses out. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So that whole matter is of Ecclesiastes is to fear God and to keep his commandments. So let's go to 2 Timothy 2:15. And this is going to be obviously our base, what everything is going to, because we have commandments today, and commandments are found in Paul's epistles, and we're going to break that down here in a little bit. But 2 Timothy 2:15. Okay. So we're going to just get into that, but I'm going to go over some things. If you want to gain an overall view of the Bible, you have to do what 2 Timothy 2:15 says. Okay? We're going to get into that, but the Bible, it's to study, you know, God wants us to be serious about studying. By continued study of God's Word, believers grow in faith in order to live their lives in God's glory. There are principles, and failure to apply these principles is the cause of confusion today. So these are just regular principles. Everyone knows. I could say it, and a kid can probably be like, yeah, that's right. But first is read your Bible, right? You got to open it and read it. So you have to open it. As simple as that sounds, people, you really have it on their counter. It's more like a relic, and it's collecting dust, and it's just in there. But you have to open it and read it. It's trust me, sometimes we get lazy, but that's what it is. Sometimes we have a tendency to rely on preachers and teachers and commentators, which sometimes they do have the right stuff, but like I said, we want to read it. All these are good, but nothing can replace personal Bible time and study. Nothing can replace that. You need that personal relationship. Instead of the verse, you know, a lot of people read devotionally, you know, read whole chapters. So a lot of people do devotional, which it has its place, but you're just reading through it, and maybe you'll meditate on that verse, but it's really, you get a whole gist of it by reading whole chapters and sections, with the goal of knowing and understanding God's Word in its historical, doctrinal, and dispensational context. So the history of it, the sound doctrine that it has, and the dispensation. So we're going to get into dispensation here in a bit. But second, Bible is to be taken literally. There's figurative speech in it, but it's God uses normal language to communicate with in his word. He uses normal language. A kid in school can read the Bible and be like, okay, this is what it's saying to me. We'll get into the whole rightly dividing thing right now, but kind of breaking that down. So it's the Bible's supposed to be taken literal. It's not like some kind of, you know, thing that it's so hard to understand only a certain group of individuals can, of geniuses or someone can understand it. No, anybody can really understand it and read it. So, and third, to recognize the dispensational nature of the Bible. So there's differences and there's, you know, divisions in the Bible. Dispensation, some people don't like that word. It's in the Bible, but it's God's dealing with man. God deals with man throughout time. We know that God himself is unchangeable, but when he deals with man, things change. And they call them dispensations, administrations. It's a house law. It's like a management. God's changing. He's managing things different, you know, amongst men. So understanding these dispensational distinctives between Israel and the body will make sense of the Bible. So God has two peoples that he addresses, Israel and the body of Christ. Those are two different peoples. And once you see those things, you can kind of see the Bible and what it really talks about and what it's really trying to say. Prophecy and mystery, the body of Christ, and what's happening is that we mix programs. That anybody listening, we know this, but anybody listening, and today we're getting into just basics. This is a Sunday school class. We just want to get into basics and what people kind of miss. And so within them basics, here we go. We are going to get into 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So we've probably heard that as grace believers thousands of times. You know, we hear it so many times, but it's really, you can read it so many times and really glance over things, you know. We probably got a grasp on it, but whoever's listening and hasn't heard this, God is saying, to if you want to be approved unto him, you have to study. If you want God to see his approval, you don't want to study this word. You want to get into that. And it's work. And if you don't want, and it's something not to be ashamed of. He does not be ashamed, right? Dividing the word of truth. And at that, so we know that it's work. We know that this is how you be approved of God. And what we read in Ecclesiastes, these are the commandments for today. Okay, this is the commandment verse for today. This is, God wants us to study to show ourselves approved unto him, a workman. It's work. It's not always easy. And needs not be ashamed. And there we go. The rightly dividing the word of truth. So that's where most of Christendom misses out. So we're not rightly dividing. So what is it to rightly divide? So what that insinuates is that there's a way to wrongly divide. And that's, so there's wrongly dividing and there's rightly dividing. So this rightly dividing, rightly dividing, okay, the individual is to study the Bible for himself and herself. There's joy and blessings in studying this, but God has been dividing since the beginning. So when he divided the waters and the land, he's divided Israel and Gentiles. He's always done division type things, and so there's adding and subtracting to God's word. Now we're not going to go to these verses, but in Deuteronomy 12. And Revelation 22, they have verses where you see, if you add or subtract to this book, you see the things that you got coming to you. So, and that's for however the magnification that God's saying on them verses, but people add and subtract to God's word. This is something that the world is doing. It's what they do. It's what most of the Christians are doing. And thank God that we understand this, and we see these things. And adding to the Bible makes things confusing. Subtracting from the Bible makes things empty. So it empties God's word when you subtract, because now you're missing out on things. When you add to it, it's like, dang, you got all these things that we got to do, and it's like, just makes things more confusing. So subtracting from the Bible is ignoring certain parts as if they were not there. Flatly denying clearly stated passages of Scripture like they didn't mean what they say. So there's a lot of things like, here's one, Christ is the Creator. In Colossians, we've seen that when we went over there. That's the Bible clearly states that he created all things out of nothing. So, you know, there's a lot of people who don't believe that. And they read their Bible. So, that's subtracting from what God says. Then, there's adding. Putting meaning into a passage of Scripture that is simply not there. and call Paul's this mishandling of Scripture corrupting and perverting God's Word. So when you're adding and subtracting, you're corrupting and perverting God's Word. Now, you may not know that you're doing it. You've been brought up in a certain church that it's been tradition and all these things, and you know, you're not doing it purposely, but it's still happening. And that's why God wants us to study. And these two main divisions that we're going to talk about, that we said that was written to Israel and so was written to the body of Christ. So let's see. So rightly dividing the word of truth means to separate from each other the distinctly different parts of Scripture for study and application. And it also means to handle God's word in a proper manner so that what it teaches can be properly understood and applied. Because a lot of people say, oh, well, God's word contradicts itself. But when you rightly divide, as 2 Timothy 2:15 says, then it all comes to fruition. It all makes sense then. Because, you know, what they say, and there's many examples. One is praying. Some back then, when they prayed and they got what they asked for, or they prayed and they get what they prayed for. But here, we get the peace that passeth all understanding. Those are two different things, and a lot of people, you know, they go through life that's, and it's confusing, adding and subtracting. So we don't want to add or subtract. We want to let the Bible speak for itself. And all right, let's go to, so now with that being said, the two divisions of the Bible is prophecy and mystery. We're going to kind of go through them. We're going to skim through them real quick for the sake of anybody listening. So this is what you see when you see these. You tell me if you're listening, whoever's listening, tell me if there's a difference. Okay, so let's go to Luke chapter 1. And us as grace believers, we've been blessed to know these verses. But it's always good to go back. Because, what do we say, what do they say? Repetition is one of the best things for learning. Repeat, 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 repeat. I'm a firm believer that that is true. Because, I mean, when you hear something all the time, it's just going to stick in your head, you know. And that's why, for edification and for learning, you repeat, repeat. Even though we know these things, sometimes we forget. There were things that I've known front and back, but if I haven't seen them for a long time, I'll forget certain things because we haven't been repeating. So, and there's different kinds of ways of study. There's a thing called recalling. You read something and you kind of recall it. You stop for a little bit. You kind of meditate, and you do that with God's word. It's called recalling. It's one of the study methods that I like to use, and then just kind of recall what you just went through. So you're not just reading through it. You just, it's a form of repetition. So Luke 1 verse 68. Yes, verse 68. Luke chapter 1. Now this verse, we're in Luke, so we're in, for anybody listening, there's, the Bible is in, the Bible has, is between prophecy and mystery, and then Genesis through, to Acts is, Acts is a transitional book, but from Genesis to Acts, that's law. It's all the law. That's all prophecy. It goes from Romans through Philemon. That's our marching orders for today. And then it goes from Hebrews through Revelation. So when you know those things, yeah, Hebrews is a transition. Acts is a transition. From the law, from prophecy, it transitions into the mystery, which, and you're wondering what them words are saying, but we're going to get into it right now. And that, and then when, after Paul's epistles, which is for today, it's his past, present, and future. Right now we're in the present, and that's, we're under grace. And so Luke chapter 1, verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. So there goes that language of Israel. And hath raised up a horn of salvation, that's Christ, in the house of his servant David. That's David, all part of Israel's program. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. So a key phrase there, since the world began. So that's saying that they've been prophesying these things since the world began through the holy prophets. And let's go to Acts chapter 3. We're going to see one more. So now, that was in Luke. So we know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are part of Christ's earthly ministry. And that earthly ministry, that's still, they're still under the law there. Christ is coming to his own. Christ was under the Israel's program, and he was coming to be their Messiah. There he was coming to offer the kingdom, and he was going to be their Messiah and be their king. So it's all still law there. So now Acts, which is a transition book, because in Acts chapter 9 you see that Christ, that the Lord is doing something different through the Apostle Paul. But here they're still trying to offer the kingdom here. And what is in you see this language in Acts chapter 3 verse 21. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the Father, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear from the prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets, and Samuel, and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Foretold, ye are the children of the prophets, and the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. So see, that's all Israel. Abraham and his seed, and all the way till Christ. And that Christ was supposed to be their king and their Messiah. And that's, it's all got all the language. Moses, prophets, and that phrase, since the world began. So right now, we're still keeping in mind that this is just a quick breakdown on how we're going to get into studying right now. I wanted to get into this. This is that breakdown. This is how that 2 Timothy 2:15 rightly divide God's word. So, okay, so now we know that, since the world began. Let's go to Romans chapter 16. So what do we say? Acts, Romans chapter 16, verse 25. So we've seen that Acts is that transition book. You read for yourself, you see that Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul, and then from there, you see that it starts changing. And we're in Acts right now with Pastor Kurth. It starts changing. Things starts changing. Then up until now, then here comes Romans, which is that foundational book, which is a good book to study when you want to study. There's a book that you want to do, and that's Romans. So here in Romans, now we're getting to the end of this book, and you'll see, tell me if you see a difference in this language. Romans 16, verse 25. You can go to 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. So who's saying that? So that alone is already my gospel. That's the Apostle Paul. He's saying, hey, this is something that I'm showing you. Christ has used me through, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Okay, so that's a whole different, kept secret since the world began, They're two different phrases, okay? That's not the same, okay? That's something totally different. And this, he's saying this is my gospel. So, there's the gospel of 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. That's our gospel for today. And they had Matthew chapter 10. Go there, Matthew chapter 9, you'll see that they called it the gospel of the kingdom. And this is the gospel, And 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 is our gospel. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. And then this will be, and Ephesians is another one that's a book that we all know, everyone knows. It's the epistles of Paul. These are the letters that he wrote to the church. And the Ephesians church that, the Ephesians church that, if we know this is what Pastor Don Field said that he, I think he heard from, read from Paul Sadler, is that it's the Alps of the scriptures. It's the Alps. It's the high point. This Ephesians, you know. And so this, and tell me if this sounds the same or does it sound different. Ephesians chapter 3. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. These to the Gentiles. This is not to Israel. This is not to Moses. Not to the prophets. To the Gentiles. If ye have heard the dispensation of grace of God, which is given to me to you word, how that by revelation, this is verse 3, made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto men, unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. So, just a quick tidbit, who created all things through Jesus Christ, calls Christ the creator. That's just a little thing we were just talking about earlier. But you see that language there? That's all, that has nothing with the holy prophets and Moses and all prophecy. This is something called mystery. This was kept secret. This was a secret that God kept from Satan, that kept from everybody, and that he revealed it to us. And this is what's happening today. It's that mystery program. And I know we're going, we know all these things, but that was just the base where I wanted to keep it at. So when you study, once you have that in mind, then studying is going to be smooth. Okay? So, all right. So now, let's see. So now, basic rules of Bible interpretation. So now we're going to get into back to the study, how to study, the breaking down of studying, because we know, like we said, it can be difficult. We get tired, we get lazy, we get sidetracked, we get whatever, you know, and these things happen, and it happens to everybody, and so don't feel discouraged about that, but we do want to fight that temptation and get on the ball. So first, you want to know that first and final authority is the Bible, and that it's inherent and incapable of being wrong. Now, when you add and subtract to the Bible, then yeah, but God's word is the final authority to all things, and the Bible is the only source for what we believe and how we are to live. Scripture has one meaning. Each passage of Scripture has a definite meaning of its own. If it had more than one meaning, how could we know what it is? And so, that's my take on that. Like, if it did have more than one meaning, how do we know what God, how will we differentiate that? Scripture explains Scripture. So, we let the Bible explain itself. Okay, I forgot. I do need to jump around a little more. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 13. So we want to let Scripture explain itself. And I know I'm going to get a good amount in. So, and I'm going to give an example how to compare scripture with scripture. It's a very easy example. We all know this example. But to me, it's a very powerful example of how to explain scripture. So, of how to compare scripture with scripture. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. So the Holy Spirit is teaching, comparing spiritual things. You let the Bible compare itself. That's a verse that proves that that's what we should do. And we find it in Paul's epistles again, commandments of today. So, and this is part of the study. Come with me to 1 John chapter 2. We're going to bounce to two more chapters after this one. Two more verses and then, yeah. So 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15. All right. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. And God's word says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Strong language there. For all that is in the world, verse 16, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Verse 17, and then the world passeth away, but the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So we want to abide forever, right? And do the will of God. But here we're seeing the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Okay, what are those lusts, you know? So we have these questions, and I'm going to break down a little bit more, but, okay. So let's go to Genesis chapter 3, and you guys probably knew I was going to come here, but this is for the people that, this is the Bible explaining itself. Genesis chapter 3. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. So those things is what every single person in the world has to go through every day. We got a lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and we got a lust of the pride of life. And these are things that we go through every single day. And we go to 3 verse 6. And this is Adam and Eve. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So, there, if you guys have seen that you had three temptations there, and those are the same kind that we were talking about. So, the lust of the flesh is that they saw that the food was good to eat. The lust of the eyes was that it was pleasant to the eyes and that she seen that it was good. And that the one that make one wise, the pride of life. So there is an example of comparing scripture with scripture. I'm going to go to one more. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And it's just, to me, it's, you know, we know that, but like, it's such a powerful example, you know, because it's like, okay, if you were to read that, how would you interpret that there in 1 John when you've seen that, you know? And this is another thing that we can be grateful to our Lord Jesus Christ, because he went through the things we went through. He was 100% God and he was 100% man when he was on earth. And he went through these three lusts. And a lot of people say, well, the Lord never went through what I threw him through. Well, this is going to prove that that's not true. Matthew chapter 1. Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. There goes that temptation. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. Yeah, I'm sure he was wanting, whatever he can get, you know, that human flesh that we have. If we fasted for something like that, we'd be like, just give me something, you know, we'd be hungry too. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. That's the lust of the flesh there. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There goes another verse that's saying, hey, study, get God's word in you, because man shall not live by bread alone. So remember, Christ is always quoting scripture. So that's how we should be on that. Quoting scripture, be like, okay, well, hold up. This is what God's word has to say about that. That comes with studying. Then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And that is the pinnacle of the temple, lust of the eyes. Where is that? Where they could see him at the top of them and be like, oh, look, it's Jesus, man. He's about to jump down and his angels are going to catch him. That's that lust of the eyes. And that's that pinnacle of the temple. And that's, we're comparing scripture with scripture right now. It's just a beautiful illustration to me. And I thought I'd share that with everybody. And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him shalt thou serve. And that's the last illustration that's saying the pride of life. He's like, yeah, I'll give you all these things. You be the head honcho over here. If somebody came up to you and said, I'll give you all this stuff, man, just bow down to me and worship me. A lot of people would probably do it in this world. They would probably do it if they were giving riches and power and all these things. So for us, for anybody to say the Lord didn't have, he had it worse. He had it harder, you know, and he was fasting, and he had Satan himself come to him, you know, the master of deceptors. Satan uses his demons. He can't be in one place at multiple places at once. But Satan himself came to him, the guy who's the mastermind behind all these evil things and all these lusts. And he still, what did he do? He quoted scripture, and he told him to get out of here. So that's our Lord that we serve. And amen to that. So now we got that out of the way. Now we're going to kind of die down and, you know, end with how to study. So don't add or subtract. People today do this a lot, and it messes up the meaning of scripture. Pay attention to context. Check when you're reading a verse, check the verses before and after. Just don't look at that verse and try to interpret it, whatever it is. You want to get all that context. Pay attention to the dispensational distinctives, when we learned about that. That we have Luke chapter 1, we have Romans chapter 16. And always keep in mind that the Lord Jesus Christ is always the focal point of Scripture. He's the main thing of all Scripture. Even though today we see him as sitting at the right hand of the Father, in the future he's going to come down and judge his enemies. Before, he was at his earthly ministry. So you have these different aspects of the Lord Jesus Christ, but today he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Rely on the Holy Spirit to give you understanding. Yeah, so, and we want to be regenerated, and to truly understand the Bible, a person must be regenerated by the Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ. We want to get saved, and once the spiritual, you know, once you get that Holy Spirit, that's going to help you actually learn what God's Word is really telling you. And God's purpose in Bible study. So what is God's purpose in Bible study? God wants us to be lifelong learners of His truth. He wants us to be faithful to the truth. And He wants us to teach others the truth. And let's see. Okay. Now, that's God's purpose and what He wants, why He wants us to study. Effort required. So, it's going to take a lot of effort. I'm not saying, like we said, we've seen His work. You know, when you go to work, it takes effort. When you, you know, everything you do, it takes effort. But what does you get that reward? You know what I mean? At the end, you work and you get that reward. Real Bible study takes serious effort. The greatest riches are found in the Lord Jesus Christ in Scripture. You want riches? You find it in this book. You know, you work hard and you get paid in eternal wages. We're going to get our goodies when we die and we go to heaven. And that's what we have, you know. And we have all spiritual blessings, but I'm a firm believer that we're going to get something in heaven when, I mean, that's what all these things that we're doing. Be determined. Be eager to learn. Be regular in study. Be prayerful before, during, and after study. Prayer while you're studying at all times as much as you can. Be willing to sacrifice time and energy to study because it is time and energy. It's a lot of time. I literally sometimes have to fit time. You know what I mean? Like, I got to, schedule it in sometimes. It's like, I got to keep it in mind. Like, I got to do this tonight or today or this morning or because I have my day, you know. So, it does take that energy and effort. Using the right tools, you know, Bible references and study Bibles. So, most of the time, they're helpful. Okay, I mean, like today, I'm learning this from Dr. Bedore. This is one of the things I wanted to share with everybody. This is one I had, and this is from the book Dr. Bedore wrote. So this is where I'm learning off him. Gain additional facts to help in understanding. So it helps you learn what others have learned. You gain additional facts. You use for comparisons in difficult areas, something you understand, you can get it, you learn off others. There are harmful things that can be part of using tools, and it takes priority over Scripture. Sometimes you're not in Scripture, but you're in the common, you know, you're in these references. Replace personal study. You give the same authority as Scripture. Sometimes people put the same authority of these things that they're learning from and as Scripture itself. And it limits further study sometimes. So those are just a little things that it can do. The study tools, you have Ray Seiler last Sunday went through that. And there's, you know, Bible cross-references. There's the English Dictionary, the Concordance, Bible Dictionary, Bible Encyclopedias, Bible atlases, commentaries, the Blue Letter Bible, the TSK, the Treasuries of Scripture Knowledge. There's a bunch of tools that we could use. And then, so I'm going to do a quick breakdown on everything. So, in the study. So, plan, prepare, set time aside to study. 2, pray for understanding. 3, read. So we read, and it's good to read about 3 chapters at a time. If you're in a big book, you can read 3 chapters at a time. Read it 3 times over. Then break down that chapter. You know, so kind of read it a few times. Break down the chapter. If you're in a small book, read the whole book 3 times. So this is not a universal thing. It's just something saying, hey, you just want to get used to it. Observe. Pay attention to what you're reading. Literary form. Repetition. Connecting words. Like, what do we, certain words, since the world began, kept secret. Since the world, it was, so one thing was kept secret, and others been talked about. So you see them words, but, of, since, thereof, when, now. You have all these words that you want to pay attention to. Location words, contrast and comparisons. Unknown words that you don't know. You look in a dictionary and find them out. You know, just like our terms that we went through. And figurative language. So there's all these things, grammatical elements. Important questions to ask are, what, when, where, who, why, and how? We all heard that in school, you know, and that's from Bedore was saying is that it's called the six horsemen of knowledge. The six horsemen of knowledge. So, you know, you have the what is this saying, when was it saying, where was it saying, who was saying it, why are they saying it, and how is all this to be? So, take notes. Write down observations. Just write it down. Anything will help. Just write it down. Think and analyze. Meditate on scripture. Just meditate on it. Just, and when you do these things, when you kind of think on it, answers and questions get answered. Questions get answered, and then you get questions. Like, answers come to you, and then you have other questions. So it's a constant flow of, you know, interpret, use proper principles of interpretation. Let the scriptures say what they say. Do not force your interpretation of scripture. Do not be superficial in your interpretation of scripture. Do not spiritualize God's word to arrive at your interpretation of scripture. And the last is, make personal applications of truth learned. How does the truth affect my beliefs, thinking, and life? So it's just like Paulie B was saying, you know, apply it, you know. He's saying, you know, you study it, you learn it, and then you apply it. And that's what this is. All these things you want to, in the end, make it applicable and in service of the Lord. So hopefully this was all it was a breakdown of study. So we see what we want to, you know, read it, take it literal, and learn the distinctives between prophecy and mystery, the distinctions of prophecy and mystery, and then that was just kind of things to plan and prepare and all these things. So, did anybody have any questions or anything?
I have just one thing to add to that, the seven horsemen.
Oh, there's another one?
To whom? To whom? When studying the Bible.
To whom?
Are they saying?
Yes, to whom? That's what rightly dividing, because most of the Bible isn't written to us. It was written to Israel. And how do we know what was written to us? Well, we go in the Bible and find out. You look in Paul's epistles, it's all there. So, the literary form? Let me see.
Is that like Psalm, Proverbs, you know, the wisdom literature as opposed to historical literature? What does that mean?
Yeah, I think so. Just how it was written and its form. And I mean, the Bible has so many things. There was the one where born again. And I think Boyden, I don't know what it's called, but what is that? Where in 1 Corinthians 15 is saying that Christ rose again. And it's called something. I don't know what it's called. They're saying that he rose again. That term again. Yeah, or I forgot what it was called. But I mean, just there's so much in the Bible that it's endless. You can learn off it. So if you know English or things, you can apply those practices on the Bible and it'll all come into fruition. So, all right, well, anything else? We're good? Oh, go ahead.
Well, interesting that the Lord's temptations, if you can't remember which one applies, they're in the same order as that verse, what is it, the pride?
Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and pride of life. Oh, they're in the same order. And in both of them, right? In Genesis and in Matthew, yeah. So I use that because it was such a, to me, it's so popping that that's how you compare scripture with scripture. You know, I can go to that lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, and maybe we could have deduced or whatever. And I think I missed a whole page on my thing that I was supposed to talk about. But I did want to say, I know I missed it. Yeah, here it is. I did miss a whole page. But logic is man's reasoning power. Scripture is what God has revealed to man. And a lot of men use logic to interpret scripture. You know, the logical system of theology. But when you do that, you get in what we've seen in Colossians chapter 2, that the philosophies of men in vain deceit. So logical is not sometimes not scriptural, and the interpretation of scripture is not logical deduction. Proper theology must be Bible-based with Scripture alone as authoritative truth. So that's, Scripture alone should be the, go ahead.
The Lord Jesus Christ was tempted in all situations, but without sin. People don't believe that.
The people that don't
believe that Christ could have been tempted.
Yeah, and he was, I mean. I can just imagine people that they get tempted with riches and power and all that, and they'll go for it, you know. And he didn't, and he quoted scripture. And that's the beautiful thing about it.
That's just what I was going to say, is that all sin is combined in those three things: the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. Then I'd like to do a study and see if those three replies of Christ would cover all your sins.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like a good study, you know, for sure. But yeah. So all right. Well, I hope this helped anybody that had any questions about studying. So I'll close this off in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your scriptures and that your word, and that we want to let it speak for itself. Please help us all study and become better students, and to do what your word says, to study to show ourselves approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And anybody listening today, we want to pray for them that the Holy Spirit guides them and opens their eyes and shows them these beautiful truths that we know. And let us keep being students for you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.